When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
All right, that's my, I did my job.
Just let out some vocal, like, you know, stress relief sounds.
That's right. It's the healthy way to do things.
Did it work? Are you less stressed?
I am less stressed. I feel great,
actually. If this is just a podcast of us, like, loudly yawning now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the yawn cast where we atonally push air through our lungs on a microphone for roughly 55 minutes before suddenly ending the call and leaving.
Some ads in there as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. How are we all doing? How's everybody doing today?
Actually, needed a yawn.
That was great.
Doing great.
Doing great.
I feel like I need to yawn right now, but doing pretty fine, you know?
You know who's not doing fine today?
Is it
There's a the long governor list. Of New
York? Yeah, it's the governor of New York. It's Andrew
Cuomo.
I knew it!
But before we get into that, we should probably introduce... By the way, this is the worst year ever.
Yeah.
It's a podcast, and we're... Hi.
Hey.
Robert and Cody.
You might be high. I'm sober as a church mouse, Cody.
You did sound like you said you were high, but I think he was just saying hi.
I have not known Cody to be sober.
Hello, I'm high on weed. This is Katie and Cody and Robert. Yes, it is.
I'm high on life and also high on today's guest, our friend Chelsea Manning. Chelsea, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Robert? It's good to see you again.
You know,
or at least hear from you.
Professionally introducing a podcast like the pros do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've gotten really good at it.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, we're doing our best. How are you doing, Chelsea?
How am I doing? I have not had internet since last night. I've been working off my phone, so it's been a pretty big pain in the ass.
That sounds like a nightmare, to be honest.
Frustrating. Yeah. I know we're so lucky. Like, technology is marvelous and awful, and we're so lucky to have it. But the second it's not there, I'm furious with it. Mm-hmm. Because we depend on it. It's life. You know?
It depends. When you lose your internet, everyone else is going along normally, and you're just fucked. And that's horrible. When Twitter goes down for everybody, the world gets remarkably better.
Yeah, a little nicer.
Yeah.
Noticeably, yeah.
To be fair, you know, being in jail, I got pretty used to not having access to the internet. So I should be okay.
I mean, that's a very good point.
Yeah. It was just MySpace, right?
But 12 hours is a long time to go without internet.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's horrible. But also horrible is the governor of New York. See, I did it twice. Two Cuomo pivots.
There we go.
We had not planned to talk about this, but it all just dropped today. So they finished, who was it that did the investigation? There was a big state investigation into the allegations.
The AG?
The AG.
Letitia James.
Yeah, Tisha James, into the allegations of sexual harassment by Andrew Cuomo. They spent several months, interviewed 179 individuals, looked through 74,000 pieces of evidence, and showed, quote, the independent investigation has concluded that Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women and broke state and federal law in doing so. Some of the women he harassed included state troopers that were like, you know, security and stuff at government functions, just like went right up and groped him, created a climate of fear in the governor's office, as well as a toxic workplace, unwanted groping, kissing, hugging, and unwelcome comments. Pretty bad stuff. Also unlawful
equal opportunity groping, though.
Yeah, his defense. Yeah, you, Cody, you want to talk about how he's decided to defend himself on this?
I would love to.
Yes, please.
Because it's remarkable.
He's a precious, beautiful man who's doing his best. He released a video of a bunch of photos of him hugging people, touching their faces. You got some Bill Clinton in there. It's nice to see
you
their
sure
faces
do.
So close together. And basically his defense is that he's just that way.
Yeah.
Right? He's touchy. He's feely. He's a kissy, huggy man. And he does it for everybody. I don't have the direct quote in front of me, but he basically just like men, women, young, old, all kinds. And it's all under this slideshow of all these photos of him. And some are just like posing for photos with people. And I don't think that's what the report was talking about, Andrew. So it's just fascinating
it's
to see
sketch.
Him even fucking try.
Yeah. Fascinating, but also not unexpected, especially
not unexpected.
Giving how, I mean, just the way he's handled it, the allegations from the beginning, I'm not surprised by the results of the investigation. And I'm not surprised by his inability to acknowledge or accept his role or any sort of responsibility.
I'm just a creepy guy, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I'm creepy with everybody. Nobody likes it. All right. Well, that's good to know, but
sounds narcissistic to me, someone who can't
But how is he gonna get it out of this one? Because he's gotten out of literally everything. Even Preet Bharara couldn't pin him on anything.
Yeah, it's gonna be he's gonna have to go. He'll do this
You'd
for a
hope
while,
so, right?
I don't think he's going to resign. I don't think he's going to resign because, that would
no,
admit
he's,
that,
yeah.
No, know, that's an admittance.
Did everything that it says. But you know, the, people are everyone is calling for his resignation. I found one guy, in, deep in some comments, who was like, actually the video kind of like, made sense. It made him look, you know, I get it.
That guy wanted it to make sense. That guy's done it himself. Some like small company and has touched all the women in his workplace. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, this story checks out.
Yeah, that guy like idolizes Michael Scott and is like, what?
Right.
It's fine. Fuck off.
It's just a joke. I'm joshing. But just like that's an excuse that many people use, right? Even like very obviously inappropriate touching where it's like, no, it's fine. I do it with everybody. It's like, well, that's fine. I'm telling you, no, I don't
for
like
Joe
it.
Biden.
Yeah,
it worked
exactly.
for Joe Biden. It sure did.
It sure did.
So that's the play.
Although he did, there's a clip of Joe from probably like late last year of him being asked about this and basically saying like, yeah, if the report comes back and he did it, then he should resign. So I'm curious to see what he says now.
Jen Psaki made a statement on it that was pretty like she didn't commit Biden to anything, but she said that something along the lines of like the report is horrifying, you know?
Okay. That's something.
Well, we'll see.
So two outside lawyers were brought in for this, and one described it as, quote, it was a culture where you could not say no to the governor, and if you upset him or his senior staff, you would be written off, cast aside, or worse.
I'm sorry, it's all abuse. It's abuse.
It's haunting.
That's, physical abuse, it's also emotional, psychological abuse, the creating an environment where you can't say anything, a fear of speaking up or losing your job.
Yeah, it's pretty unsettling.
It's almost as unsettling as him with that mountain last year, where he had the wall of masks.
Yeah.
Oh god.
The mask wall. fucking these goblins. Like, they're all.
It's my governor too.
Goblins. Yeah, maybe that's why your internet's not working. Cuomo's trying to protect the brand. You know, it's the fact that Chris Cuomo got brought in to consult on how to defend his Andrew's image is both a perfect example of like what unbiased journalism actually means to the people who think that exists, which is don't ever attack anybody who's in power. And it's also a perfect example of just, I don't know, nepotism of it, it's an example of a lot of things. Like, Chris should resign too, is what I'm saying.
But he won't.
He's an enabler of the abuse.
Well, it'll depend on ratings, and I think his rating. Mm. I think his ratings.
Yeah, that's all it ever depends.
I think its ratings are going to take a dip after this.
Probably, yeah.
His credibility.
I'll go back and forth on this because, like, we'll see. But it's pretty bad. Like, it's really hard to ignore some things sometimes. One hopes. It could very well be that, like, you know, we're all Cuomosexuals, so let's give him a pass. But I'm pretty sure now Cuomosexual means, like, I touch people's faces they don't want me to. So maybe we're not.
It's so hard for me to believe that any of the, I don't know. Like, I guess it did matter for Al Franken. And Al Franken's, what he did was much less serious than this.
It mattered because Al Franken took responsibility and admitted wrongdoing like he should have done and then resigned, which...
I don't know if it works that way anymore, Katie. I don't know.
I don't know if it ever worked that way.
Yeah, it didn't work that way then.
Al Franken did the thing that we should expect.
Yeah.
And I always get frustrated when it gets brought up because, yeah, I miss Al Franken, too. He is delightful in there.
I'm not complaining that he resigned.
No, I know you're not at all. But it does come up, so I keep saying it. It's like, no, he didn't do the wrong thing. It's that everybody else does the wrong thing.
Well, right. Yeah. It's like that's like the one example I can even think of where like.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only time somebody.
I think there's a difference between Cuomo and Franken, though, in the fact that Cuomo was much, much deeper tied into New York politics than Al Franken.
Oh, yes.
Ever
totally.
Was.
Oh, yes.
You're completely correct. And, like, yeah, there's no comparing what Al Franken did with Cuomo has been. You know what I mean?
Some of the stories, like the story of, like, the trooper that he was harassing and stuff, like, there's some.
But, like, and honestly, the defense that Cuomo, you know, gives is something that Al Franken could have brought up, you know, about evolving and growing and comedy and learning. But that's why I think Al Franken is a good person. He's like, my actions caused pain and I represent something, so I don't feel like I should be leading anymore. And
yeah, again, he didn't say, I do it to everybody.
Again, yeah. I don't wish that, like, now looking at everything, like, no, I don't. I miss him, sure, but I don't think that he did the wrong thing. Anyway.
No, I don't. And I, like, I, yeah. My,
and
my,
I know you guys
the
agree,
reason
too.
I, yeah, the reason I brought up Franken was more to say, like, I don't know if that will ever, I don't know, I don't think that's a particularly likely outcome here.
No,
and
you're including, right.
Like, I don't think it's likely that the outcome, I think it's, he'll probably be broadly defended by a lot of Democrats. I've already seen that among some people.
Oh, really?
And yeah, you know, I mean, I'll say this. I saw it before in the weeks leading up to today. I don't know how this report's going to change things. Yeah.
Like, I mean, nursing home stuff, constant defenders.
Yes.
All these allegations, constant defenders. I'm just wondering if, like, this report, like, you listed off what they did. Like, it's very extensive. And I'm just, you know, you hope that something like that is hard to ignore because, you know, no matter what side, you're going to get, like, so many people entrenched in the party just blindly defending this sort of stuff. I'm like, oh, the accusations. And then when it's on the other party, they'll be like, ah, see, believe her. And it tends to not go both ways for a lot of people. But when there is a very extensive report with evidence, I wonder if those people will keep it up.
By a popular attorney, like a state attorney, too, an attorney general. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's Cuomo's. I think
he's not
going to
leave. He won't leave. He will live.
He won't leave if his support collapses. He winds up getting swept by the NYPD when he sets up a tent in Central Park.
Oh, that's the dream right there.
I mean, this is not what we planned to talk about today. Yeah. And
no,
not,
it's not. Yeah. We should move on.
Yeah, but we should move on.
Speaking of what you just said.
But first, we got to take some ads breaks.
Here that fucking is.
Here it is. Yeah.
Raytheon
does not support sweeps of homeless encampments. Raytheon supports a draft. Ah, shit. Okay, well. Yeah.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/news and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/news. Identity theft protection starts here.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage. A bottle of Lucas Complete Fuel Treatment can clean your system and help your engine get more MPGs. Right now, you can get two bottles for only $9.99. A great deal to help you go a great deal farther. Find Lucas Complete Fuel Treatment and everything you need for better fuel efficiency at any one of our 6,300 stores.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb. Everything's so dumb.
Okay, we are back from that refreshing break.
Oh, so good.
Just feels so refreshed.
Yeah, no more yawns in here.
Mm-hmm. What are we talking about now?
Cringe.
Yes.
The eviction moratorium.
That's
is
right.
Over.
We are
a variety of necessary goods, including like basic food staples, are about to increase significantly in price.
Yeah.
Because crop yields in some cases, like in large chunks of the U.S., like corn crop yields have been half what's expected. A lot of other stuff like that. And an unknown number of people are about to be or at immediate risk of being evicted, possibly as high as like 10 million. It's hard to say. There have been some reports in the Atlanta area that as many as like 70,000 people just had eviction claims filed against them when the moratorium ended. We do not really know at this point, like the exact numbers, like nobody's gotten great detail on that yet. But there's what's floating around is pretty unsettling. Yeah.
Everything. It's horrifying. Yeah. There are some states that are going ahead or have already passed their own eviction moratoriums. But I believe I read that only maybe one third of the people facing evictions are living in states that have done that. So it is incredibly dire.
It's already started. They've already started doing mass evictions in some cities. There's moving trucks. Some people sent me pictures.
And it's one of those things where, again, anticipating even the number of people who will be on the street is kind of hard, because a significant number of the homeless, and this was true during the last economic crash too, and it was true in between them, a significant number of people who cannot afford homes of their own essentially wind up like couch surfing with friends and family, which obviously has an impact, especially during a pandemic, right? So the big eviction defense that Portland had last year, the Red House, was this family getting kicked out of a house in the middle of a pandemic. And there was this, you know, gotcha moment when certain folks in the news reported that, like, well, their parents own a house. So see, like, why are people getting all up in arms about this? They have a whole other house. And it's like, yeah, and three generations of family are currently living there, which is a thing that happened also increasingly during the economic downturn. Yeah. In 2008 and during the pandemic, is a lot of people, in order to survive, put three and four generations into a single home, which number is not healthy for a number of reasons. So that kind of stuff, like, we're going to see.
But all the rich people got vaccinated.
So that's fine then. I mean, yeah, Robert, to your point, L.A., one of the big driving factors of our big surges has been the fact that L.A. is, we have the largest amount of multiple families dwelling in single residences because you can't afford anything here.
This is such
a dense place. You can't afford to live in a property by yourself. And so there's like several families. Sorry, go ahead, Robert.
No, I mean, I was actually reading an article about this earlier and some of the details on how much worse the housing situation is. Like, in the last 10 years, rent has increased by 65% in the Los Angeles area.
It's impossible.
And the number of single resident dwellings has collapsed because it's less profitable, which means you have a lot more people crammed into apartments that aren't meant to fit that many. Ironically, it means less space for people but it also allows landlords to increase the profitability of the properties they're buying. And, you know, obviously a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different stuff going on kind of contributing to the housing crisis in Los Angeles, but it all boils down to rich people wanting to increase the profitability of their investments ever further. And that goes as deep as, like, why housing keeps getting more expensive, why, I think it was 15 years ago or something, they essentially made rent protections almost illegal, while they also, like, 15, 20 years ago, capped property taxes. So property taxes have stayed still, but rent protections have expired, have been made basically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all that also extends to why there's so much political will to crack down on homeless encampments, to these people who can't survive anywhere else, criminalize them, right? Force them out of any place that they might have found a slight degree of stability. I just read today one of the major people who just had a big meeting with the Los Angeles City Council to suggest crackdowns on homeless encampments was Jeffrey Katzenberg, the founder of Quibi.
That's right. There you go.
What a piece of shit.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, to all of that. I definitely wouldn't recommend coming to LA in the near future.
In
terms of you can't find anything affordable.
It's also, you know.
What makes it worse is all the empty housing. Is all the empty houses everywhere?
I know. You're right.
And the housing bubble is artificial because it's mostly just like a supply demand in the fact that there's an enormous amount of supply, but none of it's being sold by anybody because everybody's trying to hold on to it and everybody's trying to buy all these people that were renting their like second homes or whatever are buying up new properties or selling out old properties all at the same time. So just like everybody's just like getting into the market all at the same time, which is just causing the price to shoot up. But as soon as the demand starts to go down, even just a little bit, like, it'll collapse.
Yeah, and the renting market prices for things that are available are ridiculously high right now, like an unhinged price.
Yeah, I that's why I was definitely not going to move through this breakup. But anyway, yeah. Enough about the LA rental market and housing market. It's all a part of this problem.
Yeah, it's all a part of this like broader nationwide issue. Like in Portland, one of the things that people have been dealing with recently is, by recently for like a couple of decades now, there's these things, and there's about 1,000 of them in the United States. They're called business improvement districts. And they go under a couple of different names, but broadly speaking, they're all BIDs. And a BID is a place where the city government says we want to be particularly like positive towards businesses in this area to try to like rejuvenate or whatever or increase, you know, the profitability of our downtown area. So we're going to allow a essentially like a business association to run this chunk of the city, including like hiring security, choosing what laws are enforced. In some cases, these areas even have their own DAs that are funded by local business associations, which means you have groups of business owners who are unelected in charge of chunks of cities, and including a sizable chunk of downtown Portland, where they found homeless people in these BIDs are like hundreds of times more likely to be arrested and even killed. Because they choose what kind of enforcement to have. And it's all about, you know, making it seem more pleasant for shoppers in a lot of cases. And so we have increasingly in the United States, unelected groups of business owners running chunks of cities and deciding who gets fucking arrested and beaten by the cops and what the cops do and what gets prosecuted. Because in a lot of cases, this was the case in Portland until a few years ago, the business association in our big downtown BID, there was a DA, an assistant DA for that chunk of the city, and his salary was entirely paid by the business association.
Wow.
Which is problematic. So, I mean, all of this, there's a lot of, and of course, this all ties into climate change, too. If you want to look at a great case study, there's a really good Intercept article about the Paradise Fire. The Camp Fire was the biggest fire in California history. It destroyed the town of Paradise. Overnight, a ton of people lost their homes. They fled to the nearby town of Chico. And then just over the course of the next couple of years, the folks who had money, who'd had insurance and stuff, who'd owned property, were able to rebuild houses or move somewhere. But a large number of people had been renters and had no protections and are still homeless and have just been getting increasingly, like, the town of Chico elected an all right-wing city council on the basis of having the cops crack down on these encampments of people who lost their homes in a fire and just haven't been able to recover. That sort of shit is just going to get more common. I don't know. That's my rant. Okay.
It's a great rant.
It sounds like you have a podcast to do. B2B.
So I think we should talk about how we got here. Because who's to blame? You know, everyone's pointing fingers. The Biden should have extended the moratorium, and Biden
that would have been good.
Saying Congress or, you know, the CDC. But really, the problem is that the Supreme Court and the dissent written by Kavanaugh, you know, passed the buck back to Congress if there was going to be any extension. So it is a clusterfuck. Pelosi's saying we didn't know about this to the last minute. She knew this was coming up. She knew, they all knew, but then again, if it's not going to, even if it does pass the House, it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. But it's all just a clusterfuck of ineptitude and people pointing fingers at each other. Sophie just texted us this New York Times article that just broke, which is that Biden is expected to announce a new moratorium for places hit hard by Delta, which we'll see what that looks like.
Great. You love the means testing a plague.
Unreal.
No, extremely real.
It's probably because the CDC, because of that CDC announcement yesterday that got backlash.
Oh, which one? Jesus.
The announcement by the CDC that they were going to basically the CDC was causing the immigration was they found like a provision under health and safety for national security to go ahead and continue the program of deportations without court review immediately. Yeah.
It's weird that that would cause a backlash and he would choose a limited extension of eviction defenses as the way to push back against that. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised by it just
Both sides. Gotta placate both sides.
I don't know. Chelsea, you've been talking a lot about what you think, like the severity you think of, like how many people, I don't know, what are you looking at when you are kind of anticipating where this is going to lead? Assuming Biden's eviction defense is kind of as milquetoast as it sounds right now. What are you
also
are you
the
thinking?
Reality is that like that's numbers. A stay for a moment, and this is still a problem that even if we're punting it up the road a bit, it's still a yeah. thing. Sorry to interject that, but
yeah. So I mean, like, you know, people having a lot of unhoused people all across the country, you know, ends up in a 1930s mass migration situation. This is the other thing that I've been looking really intensely at is I've been going into commodities discords, commodities Reddits, and looking at what speculators are saying, because they pay a lot of attention to like crops and shipping and the importation of stuff. And at the same time, you have the consumer price index, which is shooting up through the roof. Which is an indicator of inflation. You see things getting more expensive, like common consumer items, like go get bread, go get milk, go get gasoline.
And shot up even more than it sounds like by the numbers you're looking. Because one of the things I was just reading, they've changed over the years. Like initially, one of the consumer price index tracked things like here, how is the cost of like a cut of beef risen? And they changed it to like ground beef. And they're continually altering. Mm-hmm. Like some of the more expensive goods for cheaper goods to make it seem as if the CPI is raised less than it has.
Right.
Which is great.
But one of the things I'm seeing is now that it's being compounded. It's going to be compounded because it takes a while for this to take effect. Because right now it's just speculation. It's speculators who affect the futures prices, right? Of food, right? So grain, corn, all of these things are having low yields due to the climate crisis. So the housing crisis mixed in with the climate crisis and COVID, which has led to a decreased number of migrant workers that can show up and provide cheap labor, are causing an effect, which is leading to higher consumer item, higher prices for consumer items and a much lower amount of purchasability among people who can pay for it. So the effect is that people have less money to spend on things that are more expensive. And that is a disaster scenario. Like
bad.
Yeah, there's nothing good that comes out of that. And as somebody who's been in the military and like looked at these kinds of indicators before, I usually, if I was looking at another country, I'd go, oh yeah, there's something really bad is about to go down right here. So.
Oh, I hadn't known you were in the military, Chelsea.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I did this thing for a couple of years, yeah.
You've led a storied life.
So you would think that there would be like opportunity in the fact that so many people are in increasingly desperate situations. And there may be, you know, like eviction defense stuff is certainly more common and people are talking about it more than they were earlier. But you're also seeing, like, one of the things that really worries me trend-wise is the fact that I'm seeing more and more information about how incarcerated labor is increasingly being used. And how the Biden administration has said that, like, people who are released on coronavirus have to go back. And that's mixing in with all these. Like, you've got, like, a number of companies who have had trouble hiring people because of the pandemic without raising wages have gone with incarcerated laborers to avoid raising wages, including, I think, Ferrero Rocher, like the chocolate company. Like there's been a couple of different companies that have done that. And I keep seeing this mix of like, oh, an unprecedented number of people are going to be homeless. A huge number of cities are criminalizing existence as as a homeless person. And there's a labor shortage based on the fact that businesses don't want to pay more. It seems like that could go in some unpleasant directions.
No, the market will figure it out, Robert.
That's kind of what I'm scared about, Cody.
Yeah. What exactly are they going to figure out?
Yeah.
This all reminds me, have you guys seen, there's been a variety of articles based on the same, about a worldwide global collapse. Researchers say a worldwide breakdown could happen within a few decades and have identified the five countries most likely to withstand it. You know, basically, you know, the BBC, you know, just different places have been putting out this.
Yeah, there was there was a paper that was written in 1970, which looked at a number of indicators and the mm-hmm. There's a graph. There's basically a graph of sort of like inputs and outputs and how they sort of flip. Like the good things go up for a bit and then they run out and then the bad things start to go up because the good things are running down. Those good things being like population indicator. Mm-hmm. Food availability, strength of the economy, prices, fuel, food, and essentially like the tension point is somewhere around between 2030 and 2050, and we're at the sort of transitional period on that graph, mm-hmm. interestingly enough, where the tension begins and yes. Before it does the flip. So
that was very well explained.
Yes.
it's daunting.
Yeah.
And the potential here, obviously, is that if you've got millions and millions of people additionally out on the street being criminalized, then you also have like tens of millions of their family members who are also being affected by this. And you have a potential for a critical mass of people who can't, like, you know, one of the things we saw with the uprising last year is a bunch of people got out in the street. Some pretty intense shit happened. And then a lot of folks decided after a certain point, well, this has gone as far as like it can, or at least as far as seems reasonable for me. I have like a life to get back to. And there's going to be a lower number of people with a life to get back to and a greater number of people at risk of kind of completely falling through the cracks and winding up in intolerable situations more than there have been in our lifetimes. And I guess what the possibility is that all of these additional people forced to the edge or off the edge,
they're gonna have to buy things.
Yeah, if they're not buying things, and if they're in fact like not participating in the economy, and if they're willing to like especially with like other people who are close to them and also realize that they're close to the edge now, willing to like even shut down the economy. We talk about a general strike a lot.
Yes,
that's an opportunity, right? There's some possibility there for like something positive to happen in the midst of a really unpleasant situation. At the same time, I don't know. I'm pessimistic more than I ought to be these days because I feel like if something is actually done with that to mobilize people effectively, it's not going to come out of any organization that presently exists on the left, because most of them are useless. Is kind of where I stand. Again, I'm very pessimistic these days.
I don't think that you're being overly pessimistic. I think you're being honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I would love to be wrong about that, but
sure.
I think
I've always had a saying in this regard, which is that organizing doesn't lead to things. Things lead to organizing. So
yeah.
It's whenever material conditions deteriorate enough, then organizing just starts to happen. So I think that's one of the things that and it doesn't happen spontaneously, but it happens it starts on its own. I think the worrying part is the logic pretzels that people have been able to get themselves into, whether it's QAnon on the right or, you know, various different sort of individualistic like reasons for I'm not doing enough or I'm not doing very well. Protestant work ethic kind of like logic pretzels that are going on to where it doesn't take into account the fact that there are systemic problems that need to be that have been put off and have been left unresolved and eventually will lead to crisis. And that's not good.
Yeah. For a long time. Yeah. And it's a wonder because like the people, many people who can do something about it, they surely they know where it's all headed.
You mean the Christian like, cinemas who marched in black bloc against the WTO and will now not stay in town in order
right,
to
demands like her like 5-week vacation or whatever.
She's gotta go on vacation.
Her little twee approach to politics and
what
legislation.
What the fuck is up with that? Sorry, I'm so.
The more you have, the more reactionary you become. It is a real tendency that people have.
Yeah. And you know, just like
you have stuff to lose.
That attention now too, right? Her and Manchin, they love being the ones, right? But like, surely they know that when that tension snaps, it's not going to be like, it potentially isn't good for them.
I mean, I think they're all of the people on that side of things are making the bet that, well, the police are more powerful than they've ever been and more committed to hurting regular Americans than they've ever been. And
but the security establishment is also like there's a distinction between the politicians who are like, yeah, the security establishment will take care of this. And the security establishment who are like, oh, we don't know if we can take care of this or handle this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, this is something like I've thought about a lot. If you go back and read the last like 10 years of Defense Department reports on climate change, they have a very accurate, unvarnished opinion about the challenges.
I shared those with you,
like,
Robert.
Yeah, we've talked about this. They've been talking about this for a while. The fact that like this is there are significant, like it's potentially like the most significant threat faced by the United States military establishment, like is the supply line crunches and the unrest and everything else that's going to come as a result.
And then in the middle of all that, while this was pre-COVID, all these reports came out pre-COVID, and now
have been. Yeah. You were saying?
You know, you throw in this virus and the lockdowns and the sort of what's up with the economy being so weird, right? It's like the stock market is completely disconnected from the reality on the ground. Like, and the commodities market is reflecting the reality, and that's one of the reasons why I pay so much attention to what commodities and futures traders are doing. Whereas like stocks are just like meme stocks at this point.
Yeah.
Because they don't mean anything. They aren't reflective of anything. It's reflective of the people that can play with the stock market.
And I think you're absolutely right to be focusing on commodities because one of the things I think we've seen, I think why, Chelsea, the economy's so fucking weird is because after 2008, when we were, you know, we were in the situation the Texas electrical grid was in this February, where it was like, oh shit, we're like a minute and a half away from this thing breaking, maybe for good. And they pulled it back from the brink, and it led to this commitment to, at all costs, you got to keep shit looking like it's not going off the rails. And you have the Fed do what it needs to do. As long as the value keeps growing on paper, as long as like you keep the numbers looking right, as long as you can like, and there's a degree to which you can like fuck with the indicators of economic health to make things seem better than they are. But when there's not enough corn for all of the people who need calories to avoid dying, that's something you can't fuck with, like, to the same extent.
Yeah, you can't cook the books on that.
Here's something we can do, which is take a quick break from the sponsors.
Yeah, you know who will provide you with enough corn to avoid death?
Surely it's not Raytheon again.
It's no, not Raytheon. But they are looking at ways to weaponize corn, Cody.
Okay. Very
exciting development.
Yeah. Exploding
the dream. The dream is closer and closer every day.
Yeah, every day we get a little closer to a device that can take out a school bus and also provide a sizable quantity of
some
popped corn.
High fructose corn syrup.
Yeah. All right.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Anyway, we're back.
We are. We're back.
It happened.
How's everybody feeling?
So good. So good.
Free Doomer.
Really great. Craving some corn, to be honest.
Global collapse. Speed run. Let's go.
Yeah.
Some like supermarket games type shit. I don't know. What else should we talk about right now, guys?
Well, I want to bring it back. I want to bring it back to the currency bit, because I think that one of the things that people aren't talking, like, you know, because, you know, like the Fed can cook the books forever. And like you said, the commodities, they can't cook the books on commodities. But what I do think that is a worrisome trend is as inflation and the CPI just shoot up, right? Then there's always the possibility that people just start pulling out of the dollar globally, which creates this weird effect called a deflationary spiral, where essentially the value of the dollar, like the value, like the number of dollars, just starts to implode, and so you have an oversupply of instead of an oversupply, you have an undersupply of actual, you know, made up dollars. So, you know, I think as long as the U.S. can project an air of confidence in the dollar, the scam works. But if it does appear that, you know, the dollar is as transparently worthless as it is, then other countries will just start pulling out their investments en masse,
and then things will get better.
That's when we really turn the corner on this.
Yeah.
I mean,
Robert, I don't want to be into Bitcoin
so much of a pet. Yeah, everyone get into Bitcoin. That's crypto. Really gonna, that'll solve every problem we have. Bitcoin will. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna use cryptocurrency without my internet or without power.
Well, Chelsea, that's why you get your wallet address tattooed on you. See, that's how you change Bitcoin into fiat. I may not entirely understand what fiat means.
Other Isn't than that a car?
Yeah, it is a car. Katie,
it is a car,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool, I knew that.
It's the car that we will use as currency in the future when everything collapses. We'll just be trading Honda Fiats.
Make sure it's a Toyota Hilux.
I mean, that is actually the car that will be worth money after everything falls apart. I don't know. I guess even like the idea that things will fall apart in the way that people think, like when they talk about collapse, when they dream about it in the movies, is optimistic.
Way too Hollywood.
Yeah, it like... No, there's no,
and
there's
we can
no
survive
giant...
it if we just have more. If we have more stuff and we're stronger, we'll survive.
It'll be me and my friends wandering the wasteland with guns. Like, no. It'll be like you and your friends finding it harder and harder to survive. And then when you can't stay in a home anymore, like your existence on the street will be criminalized, and you'll be forced to work, quote unquote, for your own good at what amounts to almost slave wages. Like that's the kind of shit. That when I think about like what collapse means, it's that more than it's the nukes go off and everybody's a free wasteland wanderer.
Well,
it's,
there still are those.
I mean, like, the nukes could go off. Don't get me wrong; it's never impossible. But I don't think that's the
scenario
most...
we're looking at right here.
When I think about the dystopias that scare me and are most likely, I don't think the road.
Yeah.
Because at least in the road, all the people I hate lose too.
And the cinematography was great.
The cinematography is great. You've got Aragorn, so it can't be that bad, right?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I keep seeing though is I keep seeing the security establishment move more and more like domestically, like consistently. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. They're less focused on like Iraq and Afghanistan. They're more focused on bringing stuff home. They're still ramping up like sort of tech and things. But also, there's a recruitment problem that the military is facing right now where they can't fill in slots.
Yeah.
They are consistent. I mean, this has been going on for years, actually, but it's become particularly acute. And by some counts, like they're like 20-30% understaffed.
Yeah.
Which is
understaffing of a unit, like the number for a unit is about 92% before something is considered amber, which is a unit that would normally that would be used in like a war, in like a total war, World War II situation, be like, okay, we could still use that, but otherwise you would just not use that unit at all. You would just be like, okay, they're completely unable to function because we have warning bells, so we need to take them out of the field and replenish the numbers. And in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, it was not atypical to have to make sure that a unit was fielded with 103-105% staffing in order to ensure that there was an oversupply of staffing.
And yeah, now like it's just impossible to staff at those levels, which, you know, that's not entirely a negative, but it's also like one of the things that's come along with that is the kind of something similar to what you've seen with police, where the kind of number of families who have children in military service or members in military service has just like declined to this increasingly small and insular group of people.
Why would you want to now?
Yeah, why would you want to? But from just a doggedly pragmatic standpoint, it's not necessarily a good thing for the military membership to reflect less and less the citizenry of the country.
Yeah.
And kind of the police are in a much more extreme level of this, but yeah.
So, I mean, this is how we end up in a situation where you end up with like a bunch of, soldiers like in a uniform violation with wearing MAGA hats at a Trump rally, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, I don't know. There's a lot of problems. One of the good signs is that, again, there's clearly an understanding among the people in the military establishment, the security establishment, who like know their shit, that the present circumstances are problematic for their ability to maintain order, which provides opportunity for a kind of organized movement to demand significant material changes in order to make life more survivable. The downside of that is that the situations we're seeing that make it, I think, more possible for a kind of mass movement based around a strike to succeed are also situations that are increasingly making it possible for a fairly small but motivated group of people to seize the levers of power.
I think the secondary is more likely in some regions, and the former is more likely in others. So I think we're in a situation where, and I've said this before, where we're going to be more and more in sort of a less federal government, like, you know, focused society here in the United States, at least, and more of a patchwork quilt where the laws and the norms that, you know, you get in one state are so drastically different than the laws and norms that you get in another. Like the difference between like what you get in Alabama or, you know, New Mexico is very different than what you get in California or Chicago.
Yeah. And I guess to an extent, even that's like, I find that more hopeful than kind of the worst case scenarios in my head, which is like the worst case scenario is always some sort of really concerted and effective authoritarian regime.
They tried. You only get one shot.
Yeah.
You only get one shot every 30 years.
But I think you might get, but everything's faster in the internet. Maybe you get one shot every four years now.
We're in unprecedented times.
I think one of the things about an attempted fascism, and I think we've discussed this before, is that an attempted fascism kind of inoculates you from the second attempt in the future.
God, I hope, because that didn't happen in Weimar, you know? But Weimar, it is a different, like, people draw... It's important to draw conclusions from that. It's also important not to draw too many conclusions from that because their democracy was like 10 fucking years old.
Yeah.
But hope you're right.
Ours isn't that much older. I mean, it is, but, you know, I hope you're right, too.
Well, yeah, and you have more and more crises every, like, more often, and who are the people that are going to take advantage of those opportunities, you know?
I just more and more, this is all so unprecedented. I don't ever know what's going to happen next.
I love how in the last 5 years we've gone from like disinformation is the worst thing to like how do we feed ourselves?
Yeah.
The I bottom mean, those are connected, dropping. Right? Because the reason why feeding ourselves is going to become increasingly hard is because disinformation rendered it impossible to take any kind of effective action that would have reduced the catastrophic effects of climate change 25 years ago, you know, 30 years ago.
Or
so it is all
or a pandemic.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, well, Cody, you know, now, you and I feel ago. Differently about that because I don't believe there's such a thing as viruses.
Oh, interesting. So, oh, yeah. Okay. I would be interested in everything you have to say and write about that. I will read it all.
This is Thank how you, Robert Evans got banned off of iHeartRadio.
Yeah. The day everything changed for us.
Mm-hmm. No, I am anti-vaccine because, I don't know, I'm trying to draw like a George Bush did 9/11 conclusion here, but I just don't have it in me right now.
We've been recording
to follow
for
through with the joke.
George Bush did the pandemic.
George Bush did the pandemic. Just you can put it together yourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Think about
all the pieces are there. Yeah, they have been for years.
Just assemble it, okay? Mm-hmm. Come on. Don't make me do everything.
Exactly.
You fuckers. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Apology accepted.
Thank you, Katie.
I think we're
gonna be okay.
We're pretty good.
The solution here is and I'm going to be serious here for a second.
That's fine.
I think one of the ultimate solutions here is that the more that we can at least be aware of the fact that there is an increasing amount of crunch coming, that certain people are preparing for it, should give some of us at least the perspective to think a little bit more, because I think one of the things that social media has trained us to do is to think in sort of terms of like, oh, Cuomo got the allegations came out just today, you know, is these 24 hour and even like 12 and 8 hour cycles, and sort of untrain that and sort of think more 6 months, 2 years, 10 years, and sort of having a long-term thinking and planning, because you don't, or as we train ourselves to do other things now and to think more long term, we should be thinking more and more about how we're going to get through the next decade. And I think that gives us a lot of opportunities to be able to organize, not on a scale of oh my gosh reactive, but proactive. And I think that I think that more and more people are taking the time now, because I'm definitely seeing a lot less internet activity among people who are more active in this sort of stuff and sort of taking a break and thinking more long term. Like, you know, okay, like we have to get through this in the long haul. How do we recharge? How do we stay motivated? How do we keep ahead? You know, how do we move ahead and move forward?
Not get distracted. Yeah.
I find myself like veering wildly between tragedy and hope these days, mm-hmm. which I think a lot of people do.
It's supposed to be that way, Robert. But nobody in the long run, I don't think anybody benefits from this, really.
Yes.
Right.
There's no meme stonks. There's no
bunkers for rich people, really, because most of those won't work. Their security won't stay with them. Nobody wants.
Yeah, there'll be like a lot of last minute sort of like, oh fuck, okay, we got to do something.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, whether or not it's too late, you know, we'll see. But that is the sort of like, okay, it's at your gate now. What are you gonna do?
I do vacillate as well, Robert, between being so pessimistic and then fearful and having hope, because I have faith in our resilience and that sooner or later we will start doing things and that maybe we can avert this. But I have less and less faith in that. And in the meantime, my anxiety builds every day. And it's like, what do we have? I mean, it's not in the near future. So we've got years of this building frustration and tragedy surrounding us before anybody's going to actually do anything. And then who even knows? But I do have hope that we will start to do something eventually, because yes, you're right, Chelsea. It's at the end of the day, nobody wants a global collapse.
No.
Even the rich fucks don't want it either.
But no. There are people who are invested in certain things collapsing, like democracy. And I guess one of the things that scares me, there's a concept I try to really hammer home to people on the left a lot. And because of the kind of low rate of people on the left who were in the military, this is not as widely known as it is. But there's a great term, the OTA loop, which is used to kind of describe the way people react in crises. It was initially developed by a fighter pilot. It's been used heavily to like describe kind of the way decisions are made in combat. OTA stands for, and this is kind of the process you have to go to act effectively in a situation. Observe,
orient, decide,
act.
Act.
Your key, if you are engaged in a conflict with somebody and you want to stop them from acting, right? That's always the goal, is to stop them from getting to A. You have to disrupt some area, some part of the OTA loop. So you have to stop them from observing the reality of the situation. You have to stop them from orienting themselves to the situation. You have to stop them from making a decision. If you can stop them at any point, you can stop them from acting effectively. One of the problems with the way the news cycle works, with the constant stream of outrage and like this never-ending wave of shit that makes people feel beat down, in addition to the things that are literally beating them down, like occasionally cops, is it makes it really difficult for groups of people to hit that, to figure out how to act. And if you're, and part of it is because like most of us sitting here overwhelmed by the news cycle are seeing the problems as so comprehensively huge. There's, you know, environmental collapse in all these different regions. There's authoritarians surging in different countries around the world. There's different authoritarians rising in our own areas. There's all these problems. It's this wide variety of problems, whereas someone who just wants to take advantage and tweak democracy a little bit more to weaken it has a very simple OTA loop, right? Easy to orient, easy to observe, easy to decide, easy to act. I think one of the things that fucks a large chunk of people up, and this is less a problem on the far left than it is with the liberals, who are the majority of people and obviously the group that is most important to get behind an idea if you're going to like make anything happen in the world, is coming to an acceptance that we are in what scholar Zayed Sardar describes as post-normal times. And Sardar wrote that post-normal times are, quote, characterized by uncertainty, rapid change, realignment of power, upheaval, and chaotic behavior. We live in an in-between period where old orthodoxies are dying, new ones have yet to be born, and very few things seem to make sense. A transitional age, a time without the confidence that we can return to any past we have known, and with no confidence in any path to a desirable, attainable, or sustainable future. Now, when you accept that you're in post-normal times, that improves your ability to act because you're no longer worried about, let's get back to normal, let's get back to the way things used to be, because that's an impossibility. And you can set yourself up in a situation like your enemies are in, where, no, instead, I'm not worried about getting things back to normal. I'm worried about building this. And then your OTA loop gets much simpler. Then it's harder to disrupt you. Then you can come to decisions about how to act much more simply. And anyway, that's my positive little rant. The end.
We love positivity. Great.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. Off
thank
to
you
the
for that.
Best year ever.
Yeah.
That response does not fill me with confidence, Robert.
If every year is now going to be the worst year ever, then let's just try to make this the best day as we can.
Yeah,
I best love day that. Of the
worst year. Yeah.
And that's 100% true.
Mm-hmm. That's a perfect way to end on. All right. Turn off your headphones and go out and hug a dog, people. Mm-hmm.
Do something nice for yourself. Somebody.
Yeah, hug people and touch their faces indiscriminately.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
participate in an eviction defense.
It's fine, you guys. It's fine to touch people. Put your finger. Just go ahead and shove your fingers in their mouths.
Yeah.
Thank you, Katie, for bringing us to yet another positive conclusion.
That's my job here. And thank you so much for joining us, Chelsea. This has been such a good conversation.
Yeah. And Chelsea, where can people follow you?
People can follow me when I actually am on social media because I haven't been on for almost a month. I am at twitter.com/xychelsea. I am also at, I also stream on Twitch, which I will be streaming again. I am at twitch.tv/xychelsea87. I am on YouTube at youtube.com/xychelsea. I have not actually posted any YouTube videos yet, but they are forthcoming. I am filming or I am editing. I also have a TikTok account. I've been doing TikToks at tiktok.com/xychelsea TV.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you.
coming. Go follow her. Do all the things. I'm excited for your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Woo,
woo. Also, I'm on Patreon if you want to do that too.
Yeah.
Patreon.com.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/XYChelsea is my Patreon. And yes, I am around and I'm doing stuff, but I needed July to like reset my
yeah.
brain.
Yeah. Good. You got to do that for yourself sometimes.
Totally.
Yeah, one of these days.
Yes, Robert. And you guys can check us out online at Worst Year Pod on Twitter and Instagram, etc.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. But you can follow us from there.
In Minecraft, yes.
And that's the episode. Everything's so dumb and it's gonna
get dumber. Great. I tried.
Daniel. Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.